Here is the podcast episode transcript. Theme music plays. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Science Podcast, where we dive deep into the latest groundbreaking research and uncover the stories behind the discoveries. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be exploring a paper that sheds light on a critical threat to cellular network security, the impact of IMSI catcher deployments.
IMSI catchers, also known as stingrays or cell site simulators, are rogue devices that can intercept and manipulate cellular communications, compromising the privacy and security of mobile devices and their users. And with the advent of 4G and 5G networks, these threats have become even more sophisticated.
That's right, Tom. The paper we'll be discussing today, titled The Impact of IMSI Catcher Deployments on Cellular Network Security, Challenges and Countermeasures in 4G and 5G Networks, provides a comprehensive overview of this growing issue and the strategies being developed to mitigate these risks.
This is a fascinating topic, Jen. IMSI catchers are essentially imposter cell towers that can trick nearby mobile devices into connecting to them instead of a legitimate network. Once connected, the IMSI catchers can intercept and record all sorts of sensitive information, from voice calls and text messages to financial transactions and personal data.
Absolutely, Tom. The research highlights just how serious the threat of IMSI catchers is, especially as we move into the 4G and 5G era. The authors explain that these rogue devices can exploit vulnerabilities in the authentication and encryption mechanisms used by these newer cellular networks, making them even more vulnerable to attack.
One of the primary challenges they identify is the unauthorized collection of IMSI numbers, the unique identifiers associated with individual mobile devices. IMSI catchers can trick devices into revealing these numbers, which can then be used to track and identify users, enabling all sorts of malicious activities like surveillance, espionage, and financial fraud.
That's a really concerning vulnerability, Tom. And the paper goes on to outline other major consequences of IMSI catcher deployments, including the interception of communications, the potential misuse of subscriber information, and the broader impacts on user privacy, business confidentiality, and even social media and VoIP accounts.
It's a multifaceted threat, for sure. But the researchers don't just stop at identifying the problems, they also delve into the various countermeasures that can be deployed to mitigate these risks.
Exactly. On the network side, they discuss things like advanced signal analysis techniques, robust encryption algorithms, and strong authentication mechanisms that can help detect and prevent IMSI catcher attacks. And on the user side, they recommend strategies like avoiding unknown or unsecured networks, using VPNs and encrypted communication apps, and keeping device software and firmware up to date.
Those all sound like really important steps. But as the paper points out, even these countermeasures have their own limitations and challenges. Things like the availability of specialized equipment, vulnerabilities in encryption protocols, and the need for user awareness and education can all impact the overall effectiveness of these approaches.
Definitely. The researchers highlight the need for continued innovation and research to address the evolving threat of IMSI catchers. They identify key areas for future work, like developing even stronger encryption algorithms, advanced authentication mechanisms, and more sophisticated detection techniques.
And the paper emphasizes the importance of collaboration and information sharing among cellular network operators, law enforcement, and other stakeholders. By working together and staying ahead of the curve, they can build a more comprehensive defense against these types of attacks.
Absolutely. This research really underscores just how critical it is to prioritize cellular network security, especially as we transition to the next generation of mobile technology. IMSI catchers pose a serious threat, but with the right strategies and ongoing innovation, we can work to protect the privacy and security of mobile communications.
Well said, Jen. This has been a fascinating dive into an incredibly important issue. I'm really grateful to the researchers for shedding light on the challenges of IMSI catchers and the efforts to combat them. It's a complex problem, but one that deserves our attention and concerted effort to address.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. This has been a great discussion, and I'm sure our listeners have a much deeper understanding of the impact of IMSI catcher deployments and the critical work being done to safeguard cellular networks. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll see you next time on the Cutting Edge Science Podcast. Theme music plays.
Upbeat jingle plays. Are you worried about IMSI catchers stalking your every move? Tired of having your personal data intercepted by rogue cell site simulators?
then you need Secure Shield, the ultimate protection against IMS eyecatcher attacks.
Secure Shield is a revolutionary new device that uses cutting-edge signal analysis and authentication techniques to detect and block IMC catchers in real time.
Just attach Secure Shield to your smartphone or tablet, and it will automatically scan for any suspicious cellular activity. If an IMS eyecatcher is detected, Secure Shield will instantly sever the connection and alert you to the threat.
But that's not all. Secure Shield also includes advanced encryption algorithms to keep your communications secure, even if you're in an area known for IMC catcher deployments.
So say goodbye to unwanted eavesdropping and hello to true cellular privacy with Secure Shield. Available now for the low price of $99.99.
Don't let IMC catchers ruin your day. Get Secure Shield and take control of your cellular security.
Secure Shield, because your personal data is way too important to be left in the hands of rogue cell site simulators. Upbeat jingle fades out.
Here is the podcast episode transcript. Hello and welcome to the Exploring Research Podcast. I'm Tom, and with me as always is my co-host Jen.
Hi there, listeners. Today we are diving into a fascinating research paper that explores how organizations can effectively manage legal and corporate compliance to drive business success. The paper is titled Managing Legal and Corporate Compliance to Induce and Enhance Business and was authored by Gunawan Wijaya from the Universitas 17 Augustus 1945 Jakarta in Indonesia.
This is a really important topic, Jen. With the increasing complexity of laws and regulations these days, companies have to navigate a minefield of compliance requirements just to keep their operations running smoothly. But as this paper shows, managing compliance the right way can actually give organizations a competitive edge.
Absolutely. The core idea is that by proactively and systematically addressing legal and corporate compliance, companies can not only avoid the pitfalls of non-compliance, but actually leverage it to enhance their overall business performance. It's a really fascinating perspective.
So let's dive in. The paper starts by providing an overview of management and its key functions, things like planning, organizing, leading, and controlling. The authors explain that effective management requires a deep understanding of the business context, including legal and regulatory factors.
Right, and the paper then transitions into a discussion of the role of law in society. The authors note that law encompasses a broad set of rules and principles that govern behavior and relationships between individuals, organizations, and even countries. The primary goals of law are to maintain social order, protect rights and freedoms, promote justice, and provide means for dispute resolution.
Exactly. And when it comes to compliance, the paper emphasizes that individuals and organizations have a fundamental obligation to follow applicable laws and regulations. Compliance is essential for preventing abuses of power, ensuring the well-being of society, and upholding ethical business practices.
The authors really stress that compliance management is critical, especially as the legal landscape becomes increasingly complex. Every organization needs robust systems in place to identify relevant laws, develop internal policies, implement training programs, and continuously monitor and assess their compliance efforts.
Right, and the paper outlines several key components of an effective compliance management system. First and foremost, companies need to thoroughly understand the specific laws, regulations, and industry standards that apply to their business. This requires a deep dive into the legal requirements.
Absolutely. The paper explains that this involves keyword searches, reviewing catalogs and indexes, and consulting with legal experts. Once the relevant laws are identified, organizations then need to translate them into clear, actionable policies and procedures that employees can easily understand and follow.
And it's not enough to just have the policies. The paper emphasizes the importance of training and educating employees on compliance requirements. This helps ensure everyone in the organization is aligned and aware of their obligations.
Definitely. The paper also stresses the need for robust monitoring and auditing mechanisms. Companies have to continuously assess their compliance and be ready to quickly address any gaps or issues that arise. Regular internal audits and reporting are critical.
Exactly. And underpinning it all, the paper highlights the importance of fostering a strong culture of compliance. This means consistently enforcing the rules, applying fair sanctions for violations, and cultivating an environment where compliance is seen as a shared responsibility, not just a box to check.
It's a really comprehensive framework. And the key point the authors make is that when companies get this compliance management right, it doesn't just help them avoid legal pitfalls, it can actually enhance their overall business performance and competitiveness.
Absolutely. The paper cites several ways that effective compliance can drive business benefits. It can help maintain a strong reputation, reduce legal and financial risks, and ensure long-term operational sustainability. Compliance, when done well, becomes a strategic advantage.
That's a really insightful perspective. I imagine a lot of companies may view compliance as just a necessary evil, something that holds them back. But this research shows how it can actually be leveraged to propel the business forward.
Definitely. The authors make a compelling case that compliance, far from being a burden, should be seen as an essential part of modern business management. It requires a systematic, proactive approach, but the payoffs in terms of reduced risk and enhanced performance can be substantial.
It's a great reminder that in today's highly regulated environment, the companies that will thrive are the ones that view compliance not as a chore, but as a strategic imperative. They'll be the ones that seamlessly weave it into their overall business strategy and management practices.
Absolutely. This paper offers a really inspiring and empowering take on compliance. It shows how organizations can take ownership of the legal landscape, get out ahead of it, and turn compliance into a true competitive advantage. I think any business leader would benefit from the insights laid out here.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. This was a fascinating deep dive into an important but often overlooked aspect of modern business management. The key takeaway seems to be that with the right proactive, systematic approach, compliance can be a powerful lever for driving growth, innovation, and long-term success. Definitely an eye-opening read.
Definitely. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but we hope you found this exploration of managing legal and corporate compliance to induce and enhance business as interesting and valuable as we did. Be sure to check out the paper and let us know what you think.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll be back soon with more cutting-edge research to unpack. Until next time, keep exploring.
Jingle Place, are you tired of the constant headaches and hassles of corporate compliance?
Does wading through a sea of legal jargon and regulations make your eyes glaze over?
Introducing Compliance Crusaders, the one-stop shop for all your legal and regulatory needs.
Our crack team of compliance ninjas will sweep in and handle everything, from policy drafting to employee training to audit proofing your business.
With Compliance Crusaders, you can say goodbye to compliance stress and hello to a competitive edge.
That's right. We'll transform your organization into a lean, mean, law-abiding machine.
Our exclusive compliance catalyzer technology will have you surfing the waves of regulation like a pro.
So what are you waiting for? Call 1-800-CRUSH-COMPLIANCE and let the Compliance Crusaders save the day. Asterisk jingle plays, disclaimer in small text. Compliance Crusaders is not responsible for any jail time or fines incurred. Results may vary. Asterisk.
Here is the podcast episode transcript about the research paper supplementary analysis, deception procedures in many labs 1-3.
Welcome everyone to the Science Illuminated podcast, where we investigate cutting-edge research with depth and intrigue. I'm Jen, here with my co-host Tom.
Hey there listeners. Today we're diving into a fascinating paper that looks at the use of deception procedures in large-scale psychology replication studies. The paper is titled Supplementary Analysis, Deception Procedures in Many Labs 1-3.
This is a really important topic, Tom. Replication is the bedrock of science, allowing us to verify the reliability of research findings. But the use of deception in psychology experiments has long been a point of contention when it comes to replicability.
Exactly. The researchers behind this paper wanted to explore whether the presence of deception in studies might be linked to lower replication success and smaller effect sizes. It's an issue that goes to the heart of the ongoing replication crisis in psychology.
So what did the researchers find? Well, they analyzed the data from three major replication initiatives, many labs 1, 2, and 3 to see if deception played a role in how well the original studies replicated.
The key finding is that there does seem to be a trend in that direction, with studies involving deception being less likely to successfully replicate. However, the results were a bit inconclusive, which is intriguing in itself. Let's dive into the details.
The researchers started by accessing all the materials and data from the many labs 1-3 projects, which collectively included 57 different studies that were replicated across multiple labs. They then had a team of psychology students carefully code each study to determine whether deception was used in the procedures.
Interestingly, the coders found that only about 7.5% of the studies in the sample actually involved any kind of deception. This was quite a bit lower than what the researchers had seen in their previous analysis of the reproducibility project data, where around 22% of studies used deception.
That's a really striking difference. It suggests the many lab studies, which were specifically selected for their importance to the field, may not be representative of the broader landscape of contemporary psychology research. The researchers note this limits how directly comparable the two datasets are.
Absolutely. With such a small proportion of deception studies in the many lab sample, the analysis ended up being a bit inconclusive. The researchers did find negative correlations between the use of deception and replication success, as they had hypothesized. But these correlations weren't statistically significant.
Right. So while the trend was in the expected direction, the data just didn't provide strong enough evidence to draw firm conclusions. The researchers say this doesn't necessarily undermine their argument that deception methods deserve more systematic scrutiny in psychology. But it does mean they'll have to rely more heavily on the reproducibility project findings for now.
Which is interesting, because the reproducibility project had a much broader and more representative sample of psychology studies. So even though the many labs' data didn't fully replicate the previous results, the researchers still feel there's an important issue here that warrants further investigation.
Definitely. I think one of the key takeaways is just how challenging it can be to really get at the heart of the replication crisis, with all the nuances and methodological differences between these large-scale initiatives. It speaks to the inherent complexity of trying to understand the reliability of psychological science.
Absolutely. This paper is a great example of how even when you have high-quality, large-scale replication efforts, there can still be lots of tricky contextual factors that make it hard to draw clear, generalizable conclusions. It really underscores the importance of approaching these questions from multiple angles.
Exactly. And I think the researchers are right to continue pressing the issue of deception procedures, even if the many labs' data wasn't conclusive. Anything that potentially undermines replicability in psychology is something we need to understand better. This is an important area for ongoing scrutiny and debate.
Definitely. It's a complex topic, but an important one. The replication crisis has huge implications, not just for the credibility of psychology as a field, but also for how we use research to inform real-world decisions and policies. Efforts to get to the bottom of these issues are crucial.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks, a deep dive into this thought-provoking paper on deception and replication in psychology. It's a great example of how science illuminates our understanding of the world, even when the answers aren't always clear-cut. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone. We'll catch you next time on Science Illuminated. Asteroid mining commercial. Are you tired of the same old precious metals and minerals found on Earth?
Well, have we got the solution for you? Introducing Deceptive Ores, the first and only asteroid mining company specializing in materials extracted using deceptive research practices.
That's right. Our team of shady scientists have scoured the cosmos for asteroids containing minerals that can only be found through the power of psychological trickery.
From fertile fluorite to mendacious molybdenum, Deceptive Ores is your one-stop shop for all your dishonest extraterrestrial mining needs.
Don't settle for boring old honest minerals. Treat yourself to the thrill of deception with Deceptive Ores.
Available now on the dark web. Deceptive Ores, mining the trust of the cosmos. Tom and Jen, Deceptive Ores, because honesty is for suckers.
Intro music. Hello and welcome to the award-winning podcast where we dive deep into the latest research. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host Jen.
Hey there, listeners. Today we are going to be exploring a fascinating paper that delves into the concept of educational innovation and its urgency in the era of information technology. This research, titled Konsep Innovasi Pendidikan dan Urgensi di Era Teknologi Informasi, was written by Aid Listiar D.W.I. Widodo.
This paper really gets to the heart of a critical issue facing education today. As our world becomes increasingly digitized and technology-driven, educators are being challenged to rethink how they approach teaching and learning. The authors argue that innovation is the key to meeting these new demands and preparing students for the future.
That's right, Tom. The paper makes a compelling case that teachers must be at the forefront of educational innovation. By embracing new technologies and techniques, they can create more engaging, effective, and equitable learning environments. This isn't just about using the latest gadgets, but fundamentally transforming the teaching and learning process.
Absolutely. The authors dive into the various ways teachers can innovate in the classroom. From integrating digital tools like interactive learning apps and flipped classrooms, to adopting new assessment methods like portfolio-based evaluation, the possibilities are endless. But the goal is always the same: to enhance student motivation, develop future-ready skills, and address long-standing disparities in the education system.
You know, one of the things that really stood out to me was how the paper frames innovation as a vital response to the rapidly evolving world around us. Students today are growing up immersed in technology, and their learning needs and preferences are fundamentally different from past generations. Teachers have to be willing to innovate and adapt if they want to keep their students engaged and prepared.
Absolutely. The paper argues that innovation isn't just nice to have, it's an essential part of being an effective educator in the 21st century. By embracing new teaching methods and technologies, teachers can create a more interactive, personalized, and inclusive learning experience. And that ultimately translates to better outcomes for students.
You make a great point. The paper highlights how innovative approaches like adaptive learning software and digital platforms can allow teachers to truly differentiate instruction and cater to the unique needs of each student. By moving away from the one-size-fits-all model, educators can help every learner reach their full potential.
It's such an important shift. The paper emphasizes that innovation in education isn't just about making things more fun or flashy. It's about fundamentally transforming the teaching and learning process to better prepare students for the challenges and demands of the modern world. And as the authors point out, that's becoming an increasingly urgent priority.
Definitely. The paper really drives home the point that the rapid pace of technological change means teachers can't afford to stand still. They have to be proactive in seeking out and implementing new, innovative approaches. Because ultimately, it's not just about improving education, it's about equipping the next generation with the skills and mindsets they'll need to thrive.
Absolutely. This research paints a compelling picture of how innovation can be a powerful lever for progress in education. By empowering teachers to rethink their craft and harness the power of technology, we can create learning experiences that are more engaging, personalized, and future-focused. It's an exciting vision, and one that clearly deserves serious consideration.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. This paper really challenges us to think differently about the role of innovation in education. It's not just a nice to have, it's an imperative. And the researchers provide a compelling roadmap for how teachers can rise to that challenge. I'm definitely leaving this discussion with a lot to ponder.
Same here, Jen. This was a fascinating deep dive into a crucial issue facing education today. I'm grateful we had the chance to unpack this research in such depth. Listeners, we hope you found this exploration as thought-provoking and inspiring as we did. Be sure to tune in next time for more cutting-edge discoveries.
Until then, keep innovating and keep learning. Thanks for listening. Outro music.
Upbeat jingle. Are you a teacher feeling burned out and uninspired?
Do your students' eyes glaze over whenever you pull out the textbooks?
Introducing Zappa Lesson, the revolutionary edutainment platform that brings your classroom to life.
With Zappa Lesson, you can transform any boring lesson into an interactive, multimedia extravaganza.
Just use our simple drag and drop interface to add talking animals, virtual field trips, and even holographic guest speakers.
Your students will be so engaged, they won't even realize they're learning.
Zappa Lesson, making education fun and a little weird.
Available now for the low, low price of 3 easy payments of $99.99.
Call 1-800-ZAPPA to order Zappa Lesson today.
Zappa Lesson. The future of education is here, and it's bizarrely delightful. Jingle intensifies.
Here is the podcast episode transcript. Hello everyone and welcome to the Inquiring Minds podcast, where we dive deep into cutting-edge research and illuminate the stories behind the science. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host, Jen.
Hey there! Today we are going to be exploring a fascinating paper on the topic of telematics and teleoperated systems. The paper is titled Telematics, Teleoperated System, and it was written by MSc. Kavan Karim.
Telematics is a field that's rapidly evolving and having a big impact across industries, from automotive to healthcare. In this paper, The author takes a close look at the core concepts and technologies that enable teleoperated systems, that is, systems where a human operator remotely controls a robot or other device.
The key idea behind teleoperation is to allow people to interact with and manipulate objects in remote or dangerous environments, without actually having to be there in person. This opens up all sorts of exciting possibilities, from operating surgical robots to controlling drones in disaster zones.
So what does the research in this paper uncover about how these teleoperated systems work? Let's dive in and find out.
The paper starts by tracing the origins of the term telematics. It was actually coined in France back in the 1970s, and was seen as a way to marry the power of telecommunications and computing to drive social transformation. Over time, the concept has evolved and converged globally into a well-established field of study.
One of the core definitions presented is that telematics refers to the integrated use of telecommunications and informatics. In other words, it's about using communication technologies to send, receive, and store information. A classic example would be GPS technology in vehicles, which allows for real-time tracking and navigation.
The author also highlights some key benefits that telematics can provide, especially when it comes to teleoperated systems. First, there's the potential for cost savings. By optimizing routes and monitoring driving behavior, telematics can help reduce fuel consumption and increase efficiency.
Telematics also has big implications for security and safety. By allowing fleet managers to track the location and status of their vehicles at all times, it makes it easier to detect and respond to incidents like theft or accidents. There are even features that can alert drivers and dispatchers to aggressive or unsafe driving.
And in terms of safety, the paper explains how telematics can help decrease accident frequency and severity by facilitating faster emergency response. The systems can automatically detect accidents and relay the location to first responders, while also giving drivers a direct line of communication with help.
Fascinating stuff. So how exactly do these teleoperated systems work under the hood? The paper dives into the different architectural approaches that have been developed.
At a high level, a teleoperated system consists of a few key components: the human operator, the remote device being controlled, like a robot or vehicle, the interface that allows the operator to interact with the system, and the communication channels that transmit commands and feedback.
The paper discusses various control schemes that govern how information flows between the operator and the remote device. In a basic position-position scheme, for example, the position of the slave device is simply determined by the position of the master controller operated by the human.
But more advanced approaches incorporate force feedback, where the forces acting on the remote device are reflected back to the operator. This force-force scheme aims to provide a higher degree of transparency, so the operator can truly feel like they're directly manipulating the environment.
The goal with all of these architectures is to maximize stability and transparency, ensuring the system remains under control and responsive, without introducing lag or distortion that could disorient the operator. As the paper notes, even a brief bout of instability would be completely unacceptable in a teleoperated system.
Beyond the technical implementation, the paper also explores how teleoperated systems are being deployed in real-world applications. One fascinating example is in the nuclear industry, where robotic manipulators are used to handle hazardous materials from a safe distance.
The author describes how researchers have developed an advanced teleoperated system for this purpose, replacing the traditional master-slave mechanical linkage with a computer-controlled motorized setup. This allows the operator to retain a sense of touch and control, while taking advantage of various software-enabled enhancements.
For instance, the operator can choose to feel forces that are scaled or adjusted, making heavy objects seem lighter. There are also features like automatic identification of object weights, collision detection, and trajectory planning to assist the human in completing complex tasks.
It's a great example of how teleoperation is evolving to become more intuitive and human-like in its interactions. The operator isn't just issuing raw commands, but is able to leverage intelligent software to extend their capabilities and heighten their sense of presence in the remote environment.
Absolutely. And as the paper notes, this type of teleoperated technology is finding applications well beyond just industrial settings. The rise of telematics is enabling new models of remote healthcare delivery, where doctors can virtually consult with and even perform procedures on patients located far away.
The potential is truly remarkable. By bridging the gap between humans and machines, teleoperated systems are allowing us to overcome physical limitations and expand the reach of what we're capable of. It's an area of research that's only going to become more important in the years ahead.
I agree, Tom. This paper does an excellent job of laying out the core principles and latest developments in teleoperation. It's a really compelling glimpse into a future where we'll be able to directly manipulate the physical world from afar, all enabled by the powerful combination of telecommunications and computing.
Definitely. And I think what's most exciting is how this technology can be leveraged to tackle some of humanity's biggest challenges, from disaster response to healthcare access to environmental protection. The opportunities for teleoperated systems to have a transformative societal impact are immense.
Absolutely. This is a field that's ripe for continued innovation and breakthroughs. I can't wait to see what the future holds. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into telematics and teleoperation, everyone. It's been a fascinating exploration.
You're very welcome. We'll catch you next time on Inquiring Minds. Until then, keep exploring and stay curious. Hey Jen, did you hear about that new company that's making waves in the world of teleoperated systems?
You mean RoboRangers? The ones that let you control robots from the comfort of your own home?
That's the one. Let's take a listen to their latest commercial. Jaunty music plays announcer, are you tired of having to actually go places to get things done? Well, have we got the solution for you. Introducing RoboRangers, the world's first fleet of remote-controlled robotic assistants. Camera pans over a team of mismatched robots announcer. With just the touch of a button, you can command our crack team of RoboRangers to tackle any task, from walking your dog to defusing a bomb. A RoboRanger stumbles and accidentally sets off an explosion in the background announcer. Okay, maybe not the bomb thing. But you get the idea. RoboRangers, when you're too lazy to do it yourself. RoboRanger waves awkwardly announcer. RoboRangers. Empowering the couch potatoes of the world. Logo appears with cheesy jingle.
Wow, that's something else. I don't know if I trust those RoboRangers with important tasks. But hey, at least it gets people off the couch, right?
Yeah, definitely a bit quirky. Though I have to admit, the idea of remote controlling a robot to do my chores does have a certain appeal. Sign me up for the RoboRanger service.
Haha, I'll stick to doing things the old-fashioned way, thanks. But you go ahead and live out your robotic butler dreams, Tom.
More for me then. Now where's the number to order my very own RoboRanger?